Will there ever be justice for Shireen Abu Akleh? A month after Israeli soldiers killed the Al Jazeera journalist, there's still no independent investigation. So, are hopes of accountability fading away? This is Inside Story. Hello and welcome to the programme. I'm Nick Clark. A month ago, Israeli soldiers silenced the voice of Palestine. Al Jazeera journalist Shireen Abu Akleh was shot in the head while reporting on an Israeli raid on a refugee camp in the occupied West Bank. A Palestinian-American died while doing what she'd done for 25 years, telling the stories of resistance to Israeli occupation. Al Jazeera continues to demand a thorough and independent investigation. The network is referring the case to the International Criminal Court. Palestinian leaders have rejected proposals for a joint probe with Israel, saying it would never be transparent. Imran Khan has more now from Ramallah in the occupied West Bank.
1 month on from the killing of Al Jazeera journalist Shireen Abu Akleh, and calls for an investigation into her death continue to be ignored by the Israelis. The US State Department has said it wants an open, independent Israeli investigation, despite the fact that Shireen was an American citizen. But investigation or not, it hasn't dimmed the impact of Abu Akleh. She was born hours after Shireen Abu Akleh was killed by Israeli soldiers. After Shireen's death, there was never any doubt what her parents wanted to call their newborn. Shireen Abu Akleh Imran was born at midday on May the 11th.
We called her Shireen Abu Akleh in order to honor her. I was in the hospital the night before. Before I entered the operation room, my husband told me Shireen had been killed, and he wanted to call our daughter that. I was shocked and sad Shireen was killed. We were going to call our baby Elma, but we didn't hesitate to change the name.
At 2 weeks old, she's already seen Israeli settlers attack a village. And while she won't remember this attack, it's likely she will see many incursions like this in her life. The kind of witness that Shireen the journalist would seek out and report on. And she was doing just that in Jenin when she was shot in the head on May 11th by Israeli soldiers. On the day of her funeral, Israeli forces stormed the procession and started to beat mourners, causing pallbearers to nearly drop her casket. That didn't stop thousands of Palestinians from marching through occupied East Jerusalem to take part in a funeral and burial. This is Berzit University, the most prestigious educational institution in Palestine. This is where Shireen helped the next generation of journalists. Her loss has hit the campus hard. The university has announced a number of ways to honor and remember her, including the Shireen Abu Akleh Scholarship for Best Female Journalist.
Shireen is an example that needs to remain alive for the students in order to continue learning from and inspiring from.
From Gaza to the occupied West Bank across Palestine, Shireen's killing has not only shocked but united Palestinians here and abroad in grief.
This is Shireen Abu Akleh's office. It's now a temporary shrine to her. Almost every day, people are coming into this office with floral arrangements and some, I have to say, very touching artwork. But this isn't about her being a journalist. This is much more than that. There's a now common saying about Shireen Abu Akleh that she was a daughter of Palestine. Imran Khan, Al Jazeera, Ramallah.
All right, so then let's bring in our guest. Fatan Elwan is a journalist and was a friend of Shireen Abu Akleh. She joins us from Ramallah. Triestina Maraniello is a member of the legal team for Gaza victims before the International Criminal Court. He joins us from Berlin. And joining us from Paris is Pauline Adès-Mevel. She's editor-in-chief at Reporters Without Borders. All of you, warm welcome to the programme. Fatan, I'd like to start with you, if I may. Of course, after Shireen's death, they poured so much emotion. First of all, of course, deep sadness, but also anger, resentment, wholesale frustration emanating from decades of occupation. 1 month on, Fatan, what's the overriding sense amongst people there about the follow-up to her death?
Well, let's start with the pain. The pain is still as if it happened today. Every day is if it happened today, because we still don't have an answer. We don't see anyone holding accountability for her death. And we're still demanding justice for Shireen. So until now, all what we hear is statements given here and there. The United States giving statement nonstop, acting as if she's a second-degree citizen, holding an American passport, living in Palestine, being killed by Israeli forces. And until now, the United States didn't ask for a firm, fast answer to why. And why is the guy or the person who took away our Shireen and caused us all this pain is still freely living his life as nothing happened? It's a painful feeling. We're still mourning Shireen, and we're still demanding answers. Until now, I don't have an answer to Larine and Lina. Lina's jumping from one country to another to just raise the voice of Shireen, asking for justice.
But I don't have an Lina answer is, to Larine. Lina is Shireen's niece, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. In which we were so close within the family, because Shireen, for me, was a family member. She's not just a friend. She's not just a colleague. She's a sister. She's a family member. And now I'm carrying on. Like the giving the answer, I'm the adult in the family of Fad. And whenever Larina is having a nightmare at night and she just want to do a video about, like, let's push it more. And then we spend the whole night working on that video, or should we do this or that? And then Larina, who didn't have a rest, like until now, she didn't even have time to mourn her aunt that she lost. She's just jumping from one place to another just to raise up the voice. And we all need answers. We all need someone to hold someone accountable. Someone is responsible about this bullet that destroyed all of our lives. Not just like we lost Shireen, but it destroyed so many people's life around her. And we just need an answer. And it's only in every single part of the world there is a criminal and there is a victim and there is a judgment. In between, why it's always that when it comes to Palestine, the judgment is in a deep coma of sleeping, not doing anything, just giving a ridiculous statement about asking for a fair, free investigation. We have the investigation. You have the reports. You have the image. So what else do you need?
Pauline Addis-Mevel from Reporters Without Borders. The need, as Fatan has just said, the need to know what happened is fundamental. Of course, in any unexpected death, but especially in this case, yet there is no independent investigation. We don't know the details of what happened, what the orders were, who fired the shot that killed Shireen. The truth is, we probably never will. Is that right?
Well, we hope we will. We still hope that something will come out. And we call today for an end of the impunity on this case, because 1 month after, like Shireen's colleague just mentioned, nothing has happened. We demanded an independent international investigation after her death, while the leader of many countries called for a transparent investigation. And where are we a month later? No United Nations investigation and an Israeli investigation which terminated almost when it began. However, she's an icon. This case is very emblematic of what the impunity can be, and establishing the truth is absolutely necessary. It is necessary to bring a response, to punish those responsible. There has been a number of reports since May 11th from investigative journalists, from different channels such as CNN or Bellingcat, showing that even though the Israeli authorities had mentioned the fact that Palestinians were on the ground and were likely to have shot the journalist, it seemed that they were not. So it has to be investigated independently. And it's absolutely clear that this case is emblematic and that the truth will be needed. It's one additional case to the situation, one additional death. But obviously, this is clear that there are signs showing that the Israeli could be involved, and this is needed. The truth is needed.
Indeed. Tristino, if Israel was not the ally that it is to the United States, how different do you think this story would be now?
Well, that's a very interesting question. What we know at this stage is that there will be no genuine domestic investigation before any Israeli military courts or before any U.S. courts, not because this is just my personal thought about this, but because the precedents in both contexts really show that, first of all, the Israeli military justice system is completely unwilling to bring to justice perpetrators of international crimes like this. And on the other side, the U.S. authorities, they have jurisdiction over this case under the war crimes criminal statute. But again, even the U.S. authorities are unwilling. There are other precedents in this regard where U.S. Domestic courts have narrowly proceeded against any Israeli military officers on the basis only of political motivation. Because a proceeding should be initiated by the Department of Justice in the U.S., and the Department of Justice has never really been willing to start a genuine investigation against Israeli officers. And I think that the only possibility for an independent investigation here can be only at an international level. There will be no justice, no accountability in this case coming from domestic courts, also because Palestine is unable to prosecute any Israeli officers. So the only possibility here left is really in the hands of the prosecutor of the International Criminal Court. Okay. Accountability will be only at international level.
All right, we'll come on to that in a second. I just want to play this clip because, as we've been hearing, Shireen Abu Akleh was an American citizen. The U.S. Secretary of State was challenged earlier this week about the American response, and here's what he said.
I deplore the loss of Shireen. She was a remarkable journalist, an American citizen, as you all know. And there, too, we are determined to follow the facts and get to the truth of what happened to her. No, they have not yet been. No, they have. I'm sorry, with respect, they have not yet been established. We're looking for. No, they have not. We were looking for an independent, credible investigation. When that investigation happens, we will follow the facts wherever they lead. It's as straightforward as that. That has not yet happened, but it's something that we very much want to see happen.
Fatan Elwan, if I can come to you, what do you make of that?
It's ridiculous. Totally ridiculous. It took only 2 weeks to send 54 investigators to Ukraine, just with a swing of a hand, and now it's been a month, and still you need more investigation. How many investigations should be implemented?
Indeed,
Tristiana, why is it so fast?
What about the ICC? You mentioned the ICC. What about the ICC and hopes for justice there? And where are we with the process generally for victims there? And how does this couple into those cases?
So we are now, in relation to the situation in Palestine before the International Criminal Court, we are at the stage that last year the prosecutor has officially opened an investigation for alleged war crimes committed in the West Bank, including East Jerusalem and the Gaza Strip. But so far, the new prosecutor, Karim Khan, the British prosecutor, has been quite reluctant to start cases. In other words, to select alleged perpetrators of this crimes and the crimes they have allegedly committed. This reluctancy is really very, very difficult to understand from a legal perspective, because we are dealing with one of the most documented situations for commission of war crimes and crimes against humanity. We are dealing with a situation in which, as I said before, there will be no domestic investigation. So it's really difficult to understand why the prosecutor has not really taken any effective measures so far to investigate the crimes in particular committed by the Israeli authorities, despite the huge abundance of evidence submitted, or in particular by the Palestinian civil society, to his office.
And Pauline, so we have this vacuum whereby, you know, Blinken is saying that there has to be this investigation, but he knows that Israel and Palestine will not cooperate and therefore knows there will not be an investigation. But what you're saying, it's imperative on the United States. The onus is on the United States to fill that vacuum and spearhead this inquiry into Shireen's death.
Well, the thing is, it has to be a stone in the shoe, and the pressure has to continue. I would be less tough than my colleague. I really hope that things will happen. I think it's a promise, it's a commitment from the Secretary of State, Antony Blinken, and it is absolutely necessary that NGOs such as Reporters Without Borders, but also other organizations dealing with this case, continue just to recall the situation. Right now, Palestine has dropped in our index consequently in the in 2022 because of this violence, because of the number of Israeli violation against Palestinian journalists since the weekly protest in March 2018. There has been a huge raise of violence, and it's absolutely clear that this case showed that she was wearing signs showing she was a journalist. They were witness. There are now people saying that there were no Palestinian around or likely to have shot the journalist. So we have elements, and it's absolutely necessary to continue. The worst thing is impunity, and impunity has lasted quite a long time in the region, and especially for Palestinian or international journalists in this conflict. This case is very emblematic. And anyway, as long as there is no truth or elements showing that the Israeli are clear, everyone will know that there are underneath lies or something is covered, and so this doesn't work. And this is our role as an organization fighting for press freedom to fight against this impunity. It is so important, it's so important to send a signal to all the journalists who continue to cover this region and this conflict in particular.
Indeed. And Tristino, this you mentioned domestic courts in the United States, but what about seeking redress through the U.S. court system with a civil case? We have the precedent of Marie Colvin's family. Marie Colvin was the Sunday Times reporter killed in Syria. Her family took her case to the civil courts, and which ruled that Syria had to pay $300 million. That money wasn't coming anytime soon, but that was the ruling. Couldn't something similar happen in this case?
Well, there will be the possibility for both civil and criminal action before domestic courts in the US. But as I said before, the proceedings have to be triggered by political bodies, in particular by the Department of Justice. Right. And this is very unlikely that is going to happen when the proceedings, both civil and criminal, concern Israeli citizens, as you were correctly saying at the beginning. US authorities are strongly reluctant in this regard to bring to justice any perpetrators of these crimes if the perpetrator is Israeli. But there is even more. The U.S. administration, in particular the previous one, the Trump administration, has also made strong pressures on the International Criminal Court by issuing the so-called executive order, which imposes severe sanctions on the prosecutor, the former prosecutor, Fatou Bensouda, and her staff, in relation to the investigation both in Afghanistan and against Israeli nationals. So what we know very clearly is that the political message we get from the U.S. is that not only domestic courts, both civil and criminal, will have a very difficult mission in investigating cases related to Israeli officers, but that the U.S. will make also strong pressures on the International Criminal Court to prevent the same court from investigating such international crimes.
Indeed. Fatan, the Palestinians, of course, they refused to cooperate with any Israeli investigation in the first place, the complete lack of trust there. And they didn't want to offer up the bullet that they have, which killed Shireen. So what do you think the shape of the investigation should be to ensure that it's independent and transparent and acceptable?
Well, we need someone that we can trust, simply as that, because we did measure or witnessed throughout the years a manipulation of evidence by the Israeli side. And we need someone to trust. The EU addressed the family and they spoke about it. They still didn't make up their mind whether they want to go to there or not, because there's always the fear of manipulation with the evidence. And this is why the Palestinian Authority simply didn't want to give the bullet to the Israeli side. We have a connection of weapons which they can easily make it easy that we use, the Palestinian fighters use M16 and then the Israeli soldier use the same kind of weapon. But then there's always a number to that bullet. There's always a number that is related to the gun, that the soldier need to sign a paper that he has those number related to that gun, related to that person. So we can easily find a person to blame. Now we need a side that we can trust, an Israeli-Palestinian investigation. Israel is not in a place that we can trust, not in any ways. I mean, at so many places, they did steal organs, they did steal the evidence, and this is not a place where we can trust. But what I know, that whoever that side is going to be need to fight in the name of Shireen and the name of every Palestinian that became a victim of the rule of shoot and kill whenever they feel like it. And we're not just fighting for Shireen. We're fighting for every single Israeli soldier that we witnessed throughout the years getting more and more aggressive on the ground, killing with a smile on their face, only by knowing that I'm a free man after that. Like what we call the Israeli soldier in Palestine is the sacred cow that no one can come near. So you can see them. Like, I was shot twice out of three times. And the soldier was just like, I'm wearing my gear. And he was just pointing the gun up and putting it down. And I was so stupid to believe that he will not shoot me. But he did. He did, and he was smiling because he knows he can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants, and no one is going to hold him accountable. And even in rare cases like the one in Hebron, he was serving 3 months in jail and he was out, even though he held the gun in front of cameras and he shot a person, a Palestinian person. All the evidence is in front of your face.
Okay.
So yes, they took him to court, but then he was only there for 3 months, and then he was a free man living his life as nothing happened.
Right. And Pauline, this is important not just for justice on the ground, of course, but also, as you've been alluding to for journalism as a whole. And I was reading that, 80% of journalist murders have gone unprosecuted in the last decade.
Yes, I think it's very important as a sign of protection of press freedom. Journalists have to be able to cover in peace. I think it is very important that even though there was this violation of the UN Security Council Resolution 2222 on the protection of journalists and the Geneva Convention on Security of Journalists, it's absolutely necessary that journalists can know that they will be able to cover the conflict, the zone. I mentioned 140 journalists victims of violation on Friday's march since 2018, but it's also 30 journalists killed since 2000. So the death toll is absolutely enormous. This case is very emblematic because the journalist was known, she was experienced. She obviously, there is all this background around what happened, and so this is why it's so important that there is a strong signal for press freedom, for journalists to continue to believe that the truth will come out.
All right, just one final question for Triestino. We've got about 30 seconds left or so. Do you think there will ever be justice for Shireen?
I think that there can be justice before the International Criminal Court on a domestic level, but there must be a pressure by civil society, Palestinian civil society, international civil society, experts, scholars on the International Criminal Court to urge the prosecutor to start an investigation into this as a war crime, but in particular as a crime against humanity, because this is not an isolated act. It's part of a widespread and systematic attack against Palestinian civilians. systematic attack here is the occupation both in the West Bank and in the Gaza Strip. So there will be an investigation, there will be justice if the pressure of the ICC will be high. Otherwise, the court will keep on going with this reluctancy in investigating the situation, as I said, and the specific case, as I said before, showing a lot of contradiction and ambiguities, because the court has shown that it's very able and effective in intervening in other situations very promptly. I'm referring in particular to Libya and Ukraine in this specific case.
All right, we'll have to leave it there. Thank you so much to all of you for joining us today. Fatan Elwan, Triestino Marinello and Pauline Addis-Mevel. Thanks so much indeed for joining us today. Thank you too for watching. You can see the programme again anytime by visiting our website, AlJazeera.com. And for further discussion, go to our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/AJ Inside Story. And you can also join the conversation on Twitter. Our handle is @AJ Inside Story. From me, Nick Clark, and the whole team here, it's goodbye for now.